game against Doncaster, what would your starting 11 be? How would you rotate your squad? And your thoughts generally about the League Cup, just how important is it for Leeds this season? Looking for that first win of the season, of course, we have only had one game. But momentum all important, and getting it in the Yorkshire derby against Doncaster. Let's just hear what the Leeds United head coach has had to say today to Radio Yorkshire about tomorrow's match against Doncaster.
And I think I want to say that is to having that size of squad what we have, I see that as advantage and not necessarily as a disadvantage. I orientate myself on, again, Sean Dyche. We spoke about last week a lot about Burnley's success. Burnley had 2 years ago when they was winning the championship. They had one of the fewest players used, a very tight squad of players where everybody saw a really opening to play first team football. And I think that is what we have here in that moment in time. I think that it could be advantage for us. And another side is my responsibility to manage a match program where we're having now in the next 10 games, 10 days, 4 games, 3 of them away from home, with 2 of them big distance to travel. So that is now the challenge we have, and the challenge every manager has in that period of the year. And hopefully we will come through that with good results and no injuries.
You've got a couple of players out injured or on the way back from injury at the moment. Luke Murphy played the other night for the 21s. Is he likely to feature?
I'm very happy with. I watched him. In general, it was a good game from our under 21s, and I think for me the highlight was obviously from our point that Luke Murphy came through it in a good manner. I think he performed well. He looked sharp for 60 minutes. Didn't have any problems afterwards. He trained yesterday, trained today. And I think that gives me also opportunity for tomorrow to maybe involving him, to maybe giving some stage of the game vital match experience. So we see who we pick tomorrow for the 18-man squad. But for me, I'm delighted to have Luke as a possible member of that 18-man squad.
Stuart Dallas, who you said hasn't had probably as full of as rigorous pre-season as the rest of your team. He obviously played quite well at the weekend.
What I normally not do, I can confirm to you, because you're a nice man, Stuart Dallas will start tomorrow.
Okay.
Because exactly what you said, because he needs more match minutes. And he's in good form, like our supporters have seen. So for him to start him tomorrow is a good opportunity for us.
When you come here as head coach, you obviously pick your side and you'll be looking for people to come off the bench and make an impact. Mirko Antonucci did that, didn't he? I guess he's given you a bit of a headache, hasn't he?
Of course, when players are buying into our philosophy that we are a team and then everybody has to contribute, is it the ones who are starting a game and wearing the opposition out, and is it the ones who are coming on and taking of advantage of the good work the people did for 60, 70, 80 minutes and finish the job off. Everybody has a part to play. Like we saw against Burnley, we presented ourselves as a team. Everybody contributed who came on or started the game. And that is a dream scenario for a head coach to work with a group of players, especially when they function like they did against Burnley.
What's your view of the League Cup? Is this a competition, realistically, that Leeds United can win?
In the past, I have not been very successful in that part. I've been quite successful with the FA Cup, but that should not give you any indication of how I think. The history of this cup is that obviously there is always a good possibility for lower league or football league teams to come very far. Will there be Leeds this year? We will see. Let's start it tomorrow.
Uwe Rosler there talking to Mark Wilson of Radio Yorkshire ahead of tomorrow night's game. I would also say as well on Twitter, Danny, who's outside, he's sort of live directing us tonight. He's put up the the clip on YouTube of us talking about Football on Five. That's officially, I've got no chance of it ever working.
No,
Channel
no,
5 ever again.
I just saw that tweet just, and thanks. Thought, right, okay. Then
thanks,
that.
Thanks for that, Danny. Appreciate that. That's no chance. Yeah. I was going to pitch to
yeah,
well, to
take been
over
an audience and, yeah, there, just discussing been, third away shirts with the rest of them.
It could have been me and Kelly Cates next week. Anyway, that dream is over. Anyway, we move on. We'll talk about Leeds United, team selection, everything else for tomorrow night. First of all, quite interesting now. I thought quite telling, Andy, when Mark says to us, is this a competition you can win? There was a long pause because I think Championship sides have kind of struggled with sort of dealing with this League Cup, where it comes, second game of the season as it has been. I think there were seven Championship sides knocked out last night. They're not massive upsets when it happens, but the priority for Championship sides is not the League Cup, is it? So it's a difficult one, I think.
No, I think it is a difficult one, but I think it's also quite a good one to start when the season's coming on, because you could get, you know, anywhere, and it's... Obviously, the Premier League don't come in. I think it's the third round or fourth round or something now, and it's, you know, it's a little bit kind of diluted until you get to that point. Personally, but it is important because it's getting the team spirit together. Still, you know, we've had a good result against Burnley, I would say personally, because I think, you know, Burnley will be there or thereabouts at the end of the year. I think they're a solid outfit. They just need somebody to score 20 goals like Danny Ings was doing for them the last couple of years, and they'll be there or thereabouts. Without a shadow of a doubt, a really good manager as well, and I like that he's still there as the manager as well at Burnley. You know, they've kept with him through the Premier League years. But I think that you know, you look at the Bradfords, you look at the team, you know, a couple of teams, you know, which have gone on. You know, Bradford gone through to the final, you know, a few years ago. They've had the good run in the FA Cup as well, and I think it's a good distraction if you're getting a little bit further on.
Yeah.
It's not a distraction if you get injuries, and I think that's why you see. I think, you know, you look at Brentford. I think made 11 changes from the team which played on Saturday, and obviously showed when they got beat 4-0. And now they're ripping up the pitch because they're blaming the pitch. So I think, you know, it can be a good thing and a bad thing. If you've been off to a bad start, you know, first game of the season, Sheffield United, for instance, terrible start. You know, they got a win last night. They've had a full team out. Then you've got Brentford on the same side of it, who've changed the whole team. So I think we'll see some changes tomorrow. Weird saying tomorrow being a Thursday, but you know, that's a different matter again. And I think that we will have changes. We will have a possibly slightly different system. Possibly, I think we might see Cook maybe rested a little bit. And I say rested just simply because he had a little bit of a knocking in pre-season as well. So I think he might come out and we might have somebody else in there. You know, so I think it gives the manager a few headaches of, I suppose, people who've played in the first game to bring them out and see a different kind of formation, a different, because we haven't got a big squad as we've been talking about, and I think he's got to see everybody in a first team competitive match to see exactly what he wants and what he don't want.
Someone was asking me earlier this week. He lives on my street. He's kind of a football fan, but not, you know, fully abreast of what's going on. He said, so Leeds not playing this week. They say, oh, we're playing Thursday. So are you back in Europe? Thursday night's been during Europe. I was like, no.
Thursday night, Sunday, you know.
Yeah, that's nothing.
We'll hang on to that one.
I don't think South Yorkshire can count really on that front. But I suppose with your team, so it's quite a tricky one, I suppose, in some respects, Andy, for the manager, the head coach, because he kind of wants that sort of unity. He wants that settled team. But then already second game of the season, he's probably going to make four or five changes at, you know, at the least, which I don't know if it disrupts it too much or...
Well, I think it will with the games which we've got coming up. I think, you know, if you're in the Championship, the most important thing is the Championship, not the cup competition. You're not going to win it. You know, if you're in the first division or second division, it's a different matter, you know, because it's a money earner. You know, it's a money earner against a big club. If we get to the third round, then we get to the third round, and, you know, the chances are we could still get a lower division club. The other chances are we could get Man United and we'll have it here and it'll be a full house. You know, but I think for us, I think we've got a few games now which are coming quite close together, which I think changes his thought process on the team selection, I think.
Very honest, Uwe, because someone else has said to him, you're just taking it sort of game by game, and he said, I'm going to sit here and say that to you, but I'm not. I've got to, I mean, it'd be foolish, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
you can't.
Any kind of manager, that don't care if it's football or business,
thinking,
you've got to look ahead.
You know, Andy, managers are thinking way, way ahead. Sometimes more than you probably realise as a player, first and foremost. You know what I mean? They're looking at way ahead. Overall, it's a tricky one. I think summarise what Andy said, it's difficult because you feel a need to tinker, don't you? And you feel it's an option to do it. But if it goes wrong, you've lost to a Yorkshire rival from a lower league, and it can be... It's an hard one to balance, isn't it? Do you know?
Mm.
And it's the old one, winning games is breed success.
I don't think there'll be that many changes. I think, you know, no. There's a lot of teams made 4, 5, 6 changes.
You've got to play safe early, haven't you, and try and not lose that game tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think, but we don't want to go to extra time either.
No, we've everything to lose tomorrow. You know, it's Doncaster also, have nothing at all to lose, have they? If they get beat 3-0, people say, well, you lost a team from one division above. No disrespect, but even if it goes to extra time, people are going to be watching and going, Leeds couldn't beat them in 90 minutes. Do you know what I mean? It's
and this, weirdly, is the third trip to Doncaster in 5 years in the League Cup. Mm. And the other two have been quite comfortable victories, really. Mm. Ramon Nunes was the star of the show a few years back. Yeah. And
he went next Frank Stranley, next Eric Cantona, wasn't he?
And it was Alex Murray.
Brilliant there when I said Frank Stranley.
He was the next David Hurst.
He was. Yes. he was a definite look of David Hurst.
who's the next so-and-so? We'll save that for a topic for another week. But Alex Mowat made his debut as well a couple of years back.
Ali said I'm next Neville Southall. I don't know what he was trying to say there.
Lee, I think you'd have to explain that to him. I'm not getting into these sort of sibling
issues. I'm not saying I'm a sulking overweight rubbish goalkeeper, but
I think you'd do alright. I think you'd probably do better than him now, I would guess, Ben. But Lee, what's your thoughts on the cup and where this kind of sits? Because I just get a feeling it's really awkward. A few years ago we played the cup on the opening day of the season. Yeah. I think it was Shrewsbury, and it was kind of like an extra pre-season game. It was kind of quite a competitive pre-season game.
It's a competition that ends with a trip to Wembley and European football for the winners, which 92 teams either don't want to win because they think it would be embarrassing in their trophy cabinet, or don't think they can win, so don't take it seriously. Yeah. For me, take it seriously. You know, what's all right, the worst that can happen, you get a whole bunch of injuries, but realistically, that can happen in any game and probably won't. Yeah. So have a bit of rotation to give players a chance to play. Maybe start Antonucci. But, you know, whatever you want to do, freshen it up. If someone's carrying a slight niggle, fair enough. You know what? You want to focus on the league football, absolutely. But put out a strong team. Try and give them... Does winning 4-0 make you feel bad? Does winning 4-0 set you up badly for the weekend? No, it makes you think, all right, great, we've got goals, we've played well, you've got confidence flowing. There is no habit that's better than winning. So, for me, you try and win every game.
It'd be nice to put, like, a really strong team out to start with. Get 3 or 4-0 up. Take three of your best players off, and off you go.
Bradford made the final. If Bradford can make a final, Leeds can win a final.
And if it was honest there, saying that he's not had a good record in the cups, because he was part of the Wigan side that got to the semi final of the FA Cup, so he'd done pretty well there. But if he makes changes, and if it goes as well as you two have just mentioned, maybe a 3-0, 4-0 win, then it does present a headache, does it not?
Yeah,
the players that have come in will go, well, you can't change a winning team, can you?
But his
team against Burnley is what he deems to be his strongest 11, isn't it, right now?
And I think also with the few new guys in there, he's definitely said Dallas is definitely playing, because he needs match fitness most than anything. He's said Murphy's going to get some part of the game, so I would imagine he's going to most likely get half the game, possibly. So he's tinkering a little bit, and players are still trying to get fit, but also players are still trying to work out each other as well of the
relationships,
little bits which they do. The midfield is pretty much sorted, to be fair, because I think Cook and Mowat are kind of telepathic between each other because they've grown up together. That happens, but they've grown up over a whole number of years. We've got Wood up front, who needs to know what. If it's down on the right hand side and Barham's got it, is he going to cross it, or is he going to turn back, or is he going to pass it again? He needs to find all these little things out. So I don't think there'll be huge amounts of changes tomorrow. And as you say, Ben, we're in a no-win situation at the end of the day. So it's if we win, we win. If we lose, we lose. It's one of them. For me personally, a loss is a loss, and it's not good. But if he's messing around with it a little bit and he's saving a few people, because we've got a few tough games, and we've got a game on Sunday which is less time than he would like to get the full recuperation for the players in, because the games come thick and fast.
Well, do you know what, Andy, when the fixtures were out and when this game got moved to Thursday, and we're all at the mercy of the TV and the all dominant sort of TV channels, when it got moved and the knock on effect that was going to be sort of felt, and then the Sheffield Wednesday game a week on Saturday is a 12:30 kickoff, we always knew this was going to be a tough week, but now it's here. I said to Uwe Rosa today, this is a bit of a problem to prepare for. And he says, you say problem, I say challenge. And that's the way he thinks. But you think about it, you know, Doncaster is a short trip. They've got Friday and Saturday to prepare for Reading, which is, you know, Reading and Bristol are similar sort of trips. Reading back sort of, I wouldn't say late night, but maybe sort of 10 o'clock on Sunday evening. Monday, Tuesday, trip to Bristol on Wednesday, we'll go down on Tuesday. But then they're going to be back up in Yorkshire from Bristol, early hours of the morning. And then they've got Friday, and then they've got lunchtime kickoff against Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, I think it's pretty brutal, isn't it? And
it
there's
is.
Not a lot you can do
but
about it.
But the Championship is brutal anyhow, you know, because you've normally got, you know, two games a week for the first 2 or 3 months anyhow.
Is it better that it's like that right now at the start of the season? Would it be worse if this was middle of December, January?
If they've got the fitness in them, then it's the best time to have it. Yeah. You know, January's always a busy time, you know, through Christmas and stuff. But then you've got more injuries at that point as well. At this present moment in time, we're touch wood, we're quite lucky with the injury situation where we haven't really got any. We've got a few who need to be looked after, I would say. You know, we've got Murphy coming back, but I don't think you'll see much of a change at the back, because again, you know, you want the continuity of the four, you know, your spine of your team to a certain point, you know. So I would imagine that you're going to get, you know, you're going to have your keeper and your two centre halves, your two centre midfielders, and you're going to have your centre forward, and then you can kind of tinker around a little bit from there. But I don't know. It's a funny one. It's a strange competition to be so early, and I think that's the thing, which is, you know, you'd like to get into the season a little bit more beforehand. You know, it might be that it sounds really bad, but the lower divisions actually they play against each other in the first round, then the second round it's the Championship comes in, and the third round the Premiership comes in, and it kind of goes through that way a little bit more. But I quite like, as you said earlier on, to have it as a kind of a pre-season side of it.
It kind of worked, actually. When that happened a few years ago, I was kind of a bit dubious about it, because it just felt like a low key, like a soft launch of like a restaurant or something. It just kind of felt like we started, but we're not really.
But
we have. And it was a competitive sort of pre season.
I think
match.
We've got to, I guess, adapt though and realise that we're a Championship club and we're going to come into Cup early on. Loves from Andy, when Andy were at Leeds.
But I do,
this didn't happen, did it? No. Leeds weren't going to play when you were at
club. No, we would. You
weren't even thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, League Cup football in August, were you? September, probably mid end of September.
Well, it was whenever the third round came in.
And I guess as a lower league club, that's something you've got to.
And then all the lower league clubs are aspiring to play against those clubs anyhow.
Yeah, exactly.
But then again, you know, I can remember being at Carlisle and we played Tottenham in the second round of that one, which was again quite early on in the season. So, you know, it can work both ways, and I think that's the thing. You know, I think you look at Bradford as an example. They got to the final, had a great run.
But crucially, they got promoted.
Yeah, and they were absolutely dead on the feet come the end of the season, because it was game after game after game. And I think last year it kind of slumped a little bit until they played Chelsea again.
Yeah,
you know, and then they got the lift up again and things. So it can work both ways, but I think as a Championship team, I think really it's a little bit of a distraction, but it's also a chance to be able to see what the other lads can play who didn't play on Saturday.
I think a win and momentum is all important. Finally, on the Doncaster game, interesting subplot is Uwe Rosler and Paul Dickov, of course, teammates at Man City, similar kind of players as well. You know, I kind of put those two in kind of a similar, I think Paul Dickov was his nickname, the Rash.
Well, he just ran and ran and ran, didn't he never stopped, didn't Dickov. And Rosler just stood in box and scored.
I was going to say Paul Dickov said today basically I did all the running for Uwe.
Rosler was very much like Mark Hughes in my eyes. He was the battle and everything else. Dickov was the, as you said, the little kind of flicking around everywhere and doing all the work kind of stuff. But they're still good friends by all accounts off the pitch as well, so
certainly are. Looking forward to Doncaster game, Yorkshire derby and all of that, so it'll be a rocking atmosphere. But to say the last two times we've been down there in the League Cup, it's just kind of been pretty routine. I think they gave us a bit of a scare last time, so it's going to be interesting to see what kind of shape Doncaster Rovers are in. But you know, you get goals, you know, for example, if Wood plays and he gets a goal, that's all important.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter where he gets a goal,
and they've said it, you know, defenders and your keeper, they want a clean sheet. Your striker, he ain't thinking, oh, it's only Donny away in first round at Cup. He's thinking, I can get a goal here, get my confidence going ahead of two toughish away games. Do you know what I mean? He wants to score goals, and keepers want to keep clean sheets.
Just final on it, because you don't think there'll be many changes, Andy, but Ben, who would you bring into the team? Who would start that didn't start on Saturday for you? Who would you give a run out to?
No one springs to mind. Okay.
So you see the same team?
Yeah. I'd make changes off at bench.
Yeah.
Second half, okay. No doubt, I'd bring people in.
Lee, what about you?
I would only make a change if someone's carrying a knock or I wasn't convinced about the fitness. I totally agree with Andy. Injuries notwithstanding, those players, the new players, need to settle in, they need to build that understanding, they need to build that communication. Sure, you work on it in training, but nothing replaces a game. Mm. So I'd keep it the same. Maybe make earlier substitutions. We made late substitutions. Apart from Antonucci, the subs came on very late.
I'd be very surprised if Antonucci doesn't start the game based on how he finished Saturday. Mike, he's got a chance. I think he's got a chance. I think there's potential. There's a potential for Ross Turnbull to play against his former club. He might go for a cup goalkeeper sort of situation. And Saul Bamba, the older player in the squad, I just wonder about him coping with the amount of football he's had. He might have to play. So he might be another one to miss out. But we'll wait and see on that one. We'll just turn our attentions back to Burnley. We kind of look forward, but we're just going to look back because the opening game of the season, optimism was certainly high. It was as giddy as a sort of kids on Christmas Eve in this studio 7 days ago. I don't know what we'd put in the tea, but something made everybody very happy and excited. But what were your thoughts on the sort of performance, Ben, and the end result? Because I don't think it fell flat at full time. But
no, it didn't at all. I think performance was good overall, but I don't think they're out there that you could really dine out on and get overexcited with, to be fair. You know, once you've sat back and woke up Sunday morning and maybe watched the game again, it summed Leeds up overall for me. We're going to be hard to beat, but do we look like we're going to score a full of goals all the time and we're going to be a threat to opposition in final third? Not always for me, no. So, kind of, it's glass half full, it's still a work in progress. We'll probably not lose as many games as we did last year if Bamba stays and, you know, everything's more organised, but it's not. Burnley, we're not finished article.
No, Burnley were a good team as well. They were a lot better than I expected. And so I'll admit, I've kind of written them off last week and thought they weren't going to be up to much, but I thought they were good. But what was your assessment on what you'd seen?
I think being quite disappointed with a point against a good team who played well and have only just come down from the Premier League and didn't really lose all of their team. You know, they had a lot of good players. Yeah. The fact that we had room to be quite disappointed is a big sign of progress. We didn't really have many signs of progress last year. So the fact that you came away with thinking, we should have had 3 points there, actually that is a step forward.
But should we really?
Yes, because we were 1-0 up with 7 minutes to go.
I look at game more, what's happened at incidents over 90 minutes though, like one of our centre half handball
could have had a couple of penalties. Sure, that's
for me, you've got to even it out. You can't just look at this happened in the last 10 minutes and ignore 80, can you? Because
I thought a draw was a fair result.
Yeah.
But we could have won, and we weren't far from winning. I thought we looked composed. We looked like we had a plan. I was a little bit worried that we run the risk of becoming a bit too one-dimensional. Burnley didn't take long to tumble to the fact that we were hitting it to Dallas or Byram, and that was it.
They very much targeted Byron, haven't they? They knew Burnley. I know it didn't take a genius to work it out, but you know, they very much tried to.
If you look at the performance last year against Burnley and look at the performance this year against Burnley, Leeds are two different teams.
Yeah,
you know, which Burnley last year was the best team I saw here by a long way. Sorry, not last year, the year before, by a long way. And you know, they proved that. It was early season, they proved that going up into the Premiership and doing what they did in the Premiership. And we're quite unlucky in the Premiership a little bit as well, I think. You know, and they've come down and they've kept the base and they've kept, you know, pretty much all their players and kept their manager. So there's the continuity which we were talking about earlier on with Swansea and stuff. I think Burnley have got a similar thing. They haven't gone out and spent big, you know, with the parachute payments and stuff. If they get somebody who scores like Danny Ings has been doing for the last couple of 3 years, they'll be there or thereabouts. So I think it's a real good base of where we're at. My biggest issue is if we get injuries to key players. You know, you've got your Bambas, you've got your Cooks, you know, now we've got the Wood up front and stuff. If any of those three get
the spine, of that spine is so important.
Exactly. You know, I think we can move around with that. You know, there's talk again of Byram contracts, talk again, there's talk of other things going on. You know, nobody really knows what's going on there, I don't think. You know, but if it does go, I don't think it's a great loss because we'll have some money to be able to bring players in. But I think, you know, on a basis from the first game, I don't think it's a bad start, to be honest.
Did Leeds over celebrate that goal, Andy? Is that part of the reason they conceded?
I think we're missing. We've got Bamba, who's obviously In my eyes, he's dictating on the pitch. He's doing the shouting. He's pointing and everything else, which he did last year as well. Which is organisation, which is what we need. The biggest thing for me was, yeah, we scored in the 83rd minute. Everybody went and celebrated pretty much, and nobody was like, right, let's switch on. You know, 3 minutes later, we've given away the ball too easily in midfield. It's gone down the right hand side. The cross is coming far too easy. And again, for me, centre half just stood on his toe. He stood on his heels.
Belushi was, wasn't he?
Just is he still celebrating? And I just think that we need to get a little bit more of that. As we said off air, that Burnley mentality would have been, if Burnley had gone 1-0, it would have stayed 1-0.
That's what I think, yeah. And normally, first goal of championship matches have proved to be so crucial. And I think if Burnley had got it, I think they'd have...
They'd just shut shop.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think we kind of... can we do that? Are we naive because we've got quite a young team? You know, I think the average age on Saturday was 23.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Or something. So, you know, it's a young team, still developing, still... learning the game, and hopefully from the goal which they've scored in the 3 minutes after ours, 87th minute, that they learn from that. You know, now it's like, right, heads on, sit, keep
harsh
the ball.
Lesson, isn't it? Yeah.
It is a harsh lesson, but that's, you've got to make them lessons and you've got to take it on board straight away. You know, and you needed somebody at that point of, getting everybody. Bamba's job at that point was, even when they're all celebrating, we've seen it before, in the Premiership, right, Terry, Ferdinand, right, come on, we've got 7 minutes to get out of here, let's switch on, nothing, get it in the corners, chase everything into the corners, get it up there, let's take the sting out of the game.
And
we just didn't do that.
As a defender, does it also, talking about this Saul Bamba thing, and he's a good club, but we've got one person. When you were playing, you'll have had Shaq and McAllister, you'll have had more than one person with that influence while you're on pitch. And is there a lot on Saul where he's the only one basically that's leading?
I think one of the young lads has to come forward now, and I think I think the Cooks and the Mowat, I don't know what kind of people they are, but I think some of the young lads have got to switch on to being
leaders, vocal them,
It's Sam's fourth season in the Championship,
but he's a quiet lad. Is he that kind of lad in the in the changing room? Is Cook a jolly lad? Is he a joker? Who's the practical joker within the team? Because there's going to be one of them.
I don't think you can just look at Saul and say
you've got to have somebody else,
and I'm sure probably it was Shaq and McAllister, wasn't it, in your case?
No, Gary Mack never really did anything. He was very quiet. He would tell you in the changing room, but on the pitch itself, he was too engrossed in his own game.
Right.
The people who you kind of, the one person who would always come to you and say, right, heads on, is Gary Kelly, who was one of the youngest players.
Right.
You know, it comes down to the individual. Yeah. It comes down to what you like. You know, and I think that, you get the players who are born captains.
Yeah, born leaders.
Who are going to try and lead the whole group and everything else.
Yeah.
You've got people who are really quiet in the changing rooms, but they're not on the pitch.
Yeah.
You know, and it's getting the characters right. And I think he's done a good job of making Bamba captain.
Oh, yeah.
I personally would have said, right, look, you are my captain on the pitch, but he's my captain. I'd have given it to Cook, personally.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd have given him more responsibility.
Yeah,
I'd have given him
as well.
I'd have given him, right, this is what we want from you.
Yeah.
This is how we want it to work.
Especially,
we want to build this team around
his position on pitch. Would that influence your decision to do that, being central midfield?
No, not at all.
Just,
I think it would have given him the inkling of going, I've got to run the show. I've got to be the proving point of everybody.
Mm.
Everybody's got to stick to my level, and also to give him that bit more confidence to give the rollickings out to the people who need them. Every single person needs a rollicking. Don't matter if it's your first game, your last game,
or your
200, 500,000 game. Don't make a difference.
No.
If you've made a mistake, then that person needs to be told. And Bamba will tell you anyhow, from my understanding.
Yeah, exactly. You're still going to get told, aren't you?
But that would be Cook's point of coming in and going, we need to do that. And I think it would have been a shrewd move, and I think a lot of the Leeds fans would have been more than happy with that.
Yeah.
But you'd have had two leaders then on the pitch at the minute. We seem to only have one.
Yeah. Saul don't need an armband, does he, to be captain?
No.
Not to over-analyse or over-criticise, and there's a plus side to this, which is that we got a point. But, you say, did we deserve to win? Equally, you know what, you could look at it and say, should have given away one penalty, could have been two penalties, went to sleep after scoring a goal. The goal itself was not quite a miracle, but it was a bit of individual skill and personal brilliance.
So that's made some good saves.
So take that away from the 92 minutes of play. Actually, Antonucci came on and did that all by himself and was great. So over 92 minutes, we've not managed to score a goal that we've worked as a team. We've gone to sleep when we needed to defend. There's a lot for Rosler to say to the lads. You need to focus on this. You need to pick up this. You need to be responsible. You need to do this. There were plenty of positives as well, and we didn't lose, which we did way too often last year. But there is a lot that Rosler can be working on. Maybe tomorrow is an opportunity.
Yeah, I agree with you. I completely agree with that summation of the game. Mirko Antonucci's brilliance. I think probably pound for pound, I think he's the most skillful player in that final third of the pitch. I think he's the man who can create something out of nothing. I think he's one of the only players. Dallas could do that, but I think he's got an exceptional talent. The problem is, Andy, is getting him into this team and into this system. It's going to be tricky, isn't it? He might have to settle for a super sub kind of role, mightn't he?
Well, yeah, and I think the other side of, you know, for Antonucci, for me personally, is he's just too greedy in front of goal. You know, he came on Saturday and had three or four shots which were blazing all over, and I actually said before he hit it, don't shoot, because one in ten go in. You know, and he's already
had
three.
But no one else was doing that though.
No, absolutely.
No one else was taking it on.
But, you know, from kind of what we believe and what we remember from last year about his contract and everything else, I think that brings a little bit of a naivety in there of what we're thinking. Every time he's got the ball, his first thought is always shoot.
But, now, he's brilliant at creating that little bit of space to get the shot off, isn't he?
He is.
We haven't got many players, I think, that can jink
around.
It's also
this is development of what you've got to be. You know, there's times to shoot and there's times when there's the pass. There's times when Wood might have been better, or you've got Byram out right, or you've got, you know, certainly last year there were certain times when there was somebody else in a better position. The only time he did it, I think, was Reading away last year when Byram scored, you know. And it's like, well, when you look at it, it works. But go back a few weeks or a few months before that, he'd have shot from where he was. You know, if there's somebody in a better position, pass it to them. You know, forget about your goal bonuses, forget about the money, forget about it, because that'll come. And if he's in that team, he'll score goals. And I think there is a place for him. Where and how that place works out, I just don't know, if he's going to have Wood up as his number one striker. But there's definitely a place for him. And I think, you know, super sub, he was certainly, I think he certainly brought something to the game straight away. As soon as he came on the pitch, it was as if we had somebody who had so much energy and wanted to prove himself and all that kind of stuff, which is great. That's what every single sub needs to be doing when they come on. Some people can do it, some people can't.
I think Rosler said that, sorry, on a press conference. I remember after the Everton game, he said, I want people to come on here. So we're getting asked about the subs and the squad, and he said, I want people to come on. People aren't coming on to prove themselves. If you get 20 minutes or you get half an hour, whatever you get, people come on and prove themselves to me. And I think Antonucci did that, and fair play to the lad, because some of that bracket of players come in and we've all criticised them, but fair play to the lad, he looked hungry, didn't he?
Yeah,
which impressed me. I thought,
and he's got some quality there.
His quality's there, that's undoubtable. He'll score goals given service.
You can see he's a good player. You just, with his touch and everything else, but at a championship level, you can see he's a good player at this level.
Does he get in your team though? Would you find a way to get him in, or is he better off the bench?
You play your best team, not necessarily your best player. If Rosler's constructed the side that he thinks this is how it's going to work, that doesn't, you know, it's if you pick your best team, you might end up with nine strikers, you know, your best players. He's got to pick the best side, and if he thinks the best side is Wood, then that means there's not really room for Antonucci on a regular basis. But there's, you know, about 460 league games each season. There's the cup runs, if you have one. There's injuries, there's suspensions.
But you can't make as many good puns off Antonucci as you can from Wood. So, you know, that's going to be a problem, isn't
it? I'd quite like him just to play behind him, just literally just playing the little hole.
I thought you were making a pun then.
We're not going down that dodgy road. But I'd like to see him just off Wood in the front and basically just in front of the midfield, and just see what he's like there.
You've got to let him kind of hover around.
Yeah, and I think tomorrow night is that ideal situation to see if them two can work together. And I think that will happen tomorrow.
I think we need a stronger central midfielder.
To be able to
free him up in that kind of role, to ask him to sort of sit in behind the big man. You need someone who's going to really get the midfield by the scruff of the neck.
Yeah, and Cook and Mowat, for example, have been given a bit more of a licence to go forward. Stuart Dallas, just first impressions on him. He needs minutes. I mean, he's been confirmed he's going to definitely start tomorrow night. What was your impressions of him, Ben? I mean, he started off really well, I thought.
He's got a good beard and he's got a funny name that reminds me of a rubbish TV show years ago.
Well, we got rid of Austin and brought in Dallas.
I think it's a good player to bring in. And it's an area that everyone was even half a Leeds fan moans about the need to address that area at pitch.
When we signed him, someone had asked me on Twitter, what do you remember him? And I said he's kind of Snodgrass-like. And I was kind of glad I'd said that, because when I'd seen him again, he is quite Snodgrass-like, isn't he?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say he's going to reach those heights, but he could do. He's kind of got that.
Yeah,
got
at this level, he could reach
He's got that way of playing, hasn't he?
Yeah, he could get X amount of goals, and also assists as well. When you look at players in final third, it's not just what I think you can look and say, oh, he'll score these goals. How many is he going to offer to the team as well? How many assists are Lyons is going to get? You know, like someone like Wood, I think if he plays all season, Wood will get you 20 goals, but he'll probably lay off another 10 or 15 for other people, which is a massive part of gaining points and getting right results week in, week out. And Dallas could contribute quite a lot, I think, in final third. So I'm impressed.
His first impressions go, and played 70 minutes. He ran at players, he was direct, he got the ball down, he tried stuff, some of it worked,
almost
some of it didn't.
Almost scored,
he got in the area, he had a good beard, which helps. As first impressions go, it was really, really pleasing. It was 70 minutes, let's see how he does across the season, let's see if he can keep it up. But we've desperately needed that kind of, with width, a natural winger, someone who can play directly, someone who can set up chances, someone who the fans can enjoy looking forward to getting the ball.
Because they're the players that, you know, get you off your edge of your seat as well. Yeah. I wonder if there was a bit of beard envy from Antonucci. Maybe that's why he came off. He came on like angry. I went, oh, there's only one beard in this place and it's mine, and then I'll do the good.
It's cliches, but as fans, and we're all still Leeds fans, no matter what role we've got, but there is nothing better than when ball's given from a central midfielder to a winger and he gets and he runs and as you're a defender, and you will know, you're thinking, is he going to go past me? Is he going to skin me? Is he going to cut in? Side. Defenders don't want that, and fans love to see it, and it is cliche.
Just a bit of excitement, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's the thing.
You know,
which I think is what he'll bring. You know,
certainly will. Other issue as well with the player on the opposite side of the pitch, Sam Byram, clearly so important to the team this season, and the plan's been brilliant in pre-season. Stories today suggesting there's been a little bit of contact between sort of his agent and the club with regard to a new contract. My understanding, or certainly my feeling all summer, and you never can predict these things outright, is that he's never going to go anywhere this summer. There still has yet to be a bid, there's yet to be concrete offer. A lot of speculation, Andy, about him, as there has been for a long time. But I think, certainly get the feeling, and the stories today suggesting that he's sort of intimated to the club, look, I want to stay this year. Could mean he could leave with a tribunal deciding the fee at the end of the season. But he's so important to Leeds, isn't it? I mean, I know you were saying earlier you get some money for him, but you can't replace him, can you?
No,
would
you
we get a better player if we got the money? Even if we got 5-6 million, would we buy a better player?
But the other side of that is, if it goes to a tribunal, we won't get that. So that's the running of the club and the manager knowing who he wants and who he can bring in and so on and so forth. But you know, for me, Sam is a massive part of the club. Firstly, and secondly, the team this year. You know, he's so important to us. He is a bit injury prone. I think he came through most of that last year. I think we'll get a good season out of him this year, and his price will go up. And you know, my understanding is the same as yours with the club today. I think the club's more wanting to know what the situation is regarding what he wants to do. And I'm pretty sure that he's quite excited for this year. I think it'd be a good move for him to stay here, financially for him. If he does go on a tribunal, he's going to get more money. And I think that some of the big boys in the Premiership are sniffing around a little bit, and I think he would deserve that.
I think one of the key things as well is if you keep him here, you've got, it's almost like once that window shuts, you've got a chance to kind of work on him, haven't you? It's like your ex agreeing to go for a drink. You know, you can kind of, you've got a bit of time just to think, well, things are going all right here. You know,
But I think the other side of that is that you're absolutely right. But if we do well, you might want to stay.
That's what I mean. If things go well, you can.
At the end of the day, if the team's doing well and they're playing well and he's enjoying his football and so on, then there's no reason for him to leave. You know, so hopefully he won't. Who knows in the transfer window?
That's it, bid comes in.
He's an English kid, where his value is quite high just because he's an English lad, anyhow.
On the Raheem Sterling ometer, he's got to be worth, 25 million?
That's the marker now, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So if he's worth 49, then he's worth 25.
Then, but did Delph go for 8 or something ridiculous? You know, so who knows? But, somebody would be. You know, there is quite a few clubs, I think, who are sniffing around him and, you know, watching him and things, as we all know. But that's been also going on for quite a while. So let's wait and see and hope that he's still with us come next month.
And I don't think the transfers coming in are at an end as well.
No.
Stories sort of this evening suggesting that a bid has been turned down in Holland for the Nijmegen winger, Anthony Limbondi. who has done brilliantly in the second division last season in Holland. So that's the latest story. And I think there's no smoke without fire with these. I think, although the feeling was, I think after Chris Wood was in, that it might be done, the business might be over. We signed Dallas for over £1 million. And I've got a feeling that there'll be some more money spent between...
Yeah, I think there needs to be as well, because I think we are short of maybe one or two. It might be cover. It'd be quite nice to bring somebody in with a little bit of experience just to help. You know, I think more the kids who are in there, you know, an average age of 23, we've got to be looking at a 30-year-old somewhere down the line, I would imagine, who's done it, who's been in there.
Step forward, Joey Barton.
Well, you know, we talked about him a while ago, and you know, I personally...
Leeds is this way.
I personally think he'd be a great fit.
Yeah.
I really do think he'd be an absolutely fantastic fit. And I don't think we'd have given that goal away on Saturday if we had Joey Barton or somebody of that style in the centre of the midfield.
But he wants big money.
He does, but then again, he most likely won't be getting big money because, you know, big money to him is... He don't need it.
Yeah, I get a feeling with him that if the challenge was right...
He'd do it.
And what bigger challenge could there be than
I don't think there are many, are there?
Like, and it says being that leader on pitch. Mm. It's an old one. I've said to you before, do you want to be that person that takes Leeds up? Surely that sells itself, and I'm first to say that we've all got to have a reality check as Leeds fans, but that I think you can still sell that to a player. If a player's hungry in his career, do you want a big guy that takes Leeds up?
That's my point with Barton. When he looks back at his career, don't get me wrong, he'll have a massive bank balance and he's played for some big clubs and he's playing the Premier League at the top level, he played for England, but he'll still look back and think, well, what did I...
You need, something where it's measured and you've done some over 40 odd games. It's a challenge to take this club forward, and he could be that final piece, so
Luke Murphy, another midfielder, made his comeback on Monday, making good progress, as we say. Might be involved tomorrow in sort of some capacity. Big player to have back as well, dare I say it, like a new signing, although I've sort of banned phrases like that this year on Wednesday Night Live, but he of course is back. And there's Reading of course on Sunday, which is an interesting one, because I've got Reading to really struggle this year in the Championship too, and we beat them 2-0 last year during that great run, of course, under Neil Redfern. So that's going to be an interesting matchup, really, because I don't make much to Reading. And the other thing as well with the Medeski, when they're not going well, it is a flat play. Yeah. I mean, it's quite easy to go there and get it.
No atmosphere at all. It's one of them places where if you go 1-2-0 up at half time, I'm sure as a player you think, it sounds arrogant and you shouldn't do it, but you do it, you think, we should be comfortable here. We should get a result here. Do you know what I mean?
Have had more time to prepare though, Reading, that a big advantage.
I think it possibly will be.
Okay. I don't think we've got a game, I'm looking at fixture list till Derby. I don't think we've got a game where we should be fearful and thinking, well, this is a bit tricky. I don't think we have, genuinely, till Derby. Sheffield Wednesday, Bristol City, Donnelly tomorrow. I don't think there's out there where we should be thinking, whereas we've got a derby and we get a point. I think
you know, you just doomed us, don't you?
Ben, I was going to praise you for your optimism, but then at the same time, I agree
just
with your brother.
Just stop talking now.
Yeah, stop talking. Well, this is easy. This will be top of the table in 3 months' time. Got some tweets to go through very quickly. We'll also be picking out a Championship hat trick because we only have 2.5 minutes left of the show. I'll run through some of the sort of the housekeeping. The mystery year, did anybody get it in the studio? Any guesses? Played Oasis, Shock of the Light, The Verb, Love Is Noise. West Brom, Stoke, promoted from the Championship.
2003, 2004.
Any advances on that?
I was going to say 2003, but Andy said it, so I'll say 2004.
Ben?
I don't know. West Brom have been up and down that many times. I've lost count.
The Dean Windass scored the winning goal at Wembley.
I should know that.
2008.
Really?
2008.
He just looks older.
We read a tweet from somebody who said they were watching it at a pub and absolutely loved it. Dan Crowther has tweeted us too. I've got to get this question in. He says, Andy, who are you most impressed with versus Burnley? But question number two, I'll ask you this one. You were a product of Howard Wilkinson's great youth setup in the 90s. Are we seeing something similar right now in 2015? Could it be better than back then? I feel the kids could help us get up and stay up with the right signings.
No, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. I think we've got some good young talent coming through, who have come, as we've seen before, when the youngsters come in and get the opportunity and play together, you can really see that the continuity goes in. And you know, I think this year we'll see quite a few of the youth products coming through and being big parts in the squad. And can they be better than our lot? Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Championship hat trick time. We've got the fixtures in front of us.
I'll go with Burnley, MK Dons, and Fulham.
Okay, Burnley are taking on Birmingham, MK Dons at home to Preston. And you've gone for Fulham, where are they?
Fulham at home to Brighton.
Fulham at home to Brighton. Okay, Lee.
I just got to preface this, I've not won a football bet since I backed Bruno Ribeiro for first goal scorer in about 1998.
Similar record to me then.
But I'm going to say Derby to beat Charlton, Blackburn to win at Town, and QPR to beat Cardiff.
Okay.
Middlesbrough, Forest, Queen's Park Rangers.
Middlesbrough taking on Bolton, Forest taking on Rotherham. Worrying.
Queen's Park Rangers, Cardiff.
Queen's Park Rangers, Cardiff. When you get turned over on the opening day of the season, I think that's alarm bells, isn't it?
Rotherham, I think it is. I think Rotherham, you know, they stayed up by the skin of the teeth last year, and I think they will be definite strugglers. I think Bolton might struggle as well this year.
Very quickly, score predictions for Thursday and Sunday as well for Leeds United.
2-0 at Donny and 0-0 on Sunday.
Okay, Lee.
3-0 and 1-0.
Okay. I'd go the same, to be honest.
Okay.
2 or 3-0 tomorrow, and then we'll take a 1-0 grab, smash and grab.
Good stuff. This is the time of the show people just tune in just to hear these selections, and then they're marking them down straight to the bookies tomorrow. Always bet responsibly and gamble responsibly. I've just got time to thank the guests in the studio. Ben, thank you very
Cheers.
Much.
Pleasure always.
Lee, thank you very much for putting up with spending a couple of hours with you.
And not fighting.
The bill's in the post.
Yeah, good stuff. And Andy, thanks very much for joining
No problems,
us.
Thank you very much.
Great stuff this evening. We're back in 2 weeks' time because, of course, Leeds United taking on Bristol next week. We'll be back shortly with Wednesday Night Live in 2 weeks' time, talking football, of course, and all things Leeds United.